L makes his triumphant return to RCST. Catch David Lawrence joining Nick Schwert on Rock Chalk Sports Talk every Monday from 4 to 6, right here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
With Nick Schwert, this is David Lawrence. Derek Johnson is also in the house. Stay tuned. We've got more spring football talk, more Kansas football talk in general, in a few minutes when we bring on my good buddy and one of the best all-time quarterbacks in the history of the University of Kansas, Frank Sire. We got great deals at Dale Woolley Automotive, but you know what? That's not who they are. They just serve up great deals all the time. They've been doing it for decades. They also give great service. That's why people keep coming back year after year. If you're looking for a new Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Cadillac, come in. You can lease any of those automobiles. Take them out and get your lease for as low as $249 a month. And they have a new pre-owned center that is huge. It's over 10,000 square feet. And they've got all makes and models there. Nick's going to go check it out tonight. And I'm going to be in a little bit later. They're going to be taking care of both of us.
And that's the thing. I got to make a decision now. Am I going to go get a car from Dale Woolley, or am I going to just go all in on the motorcycle and and join my co-host in a biker gang? We're going to start our own biker gang.
If you got one of those new sexy hot cars, does that help your status on Tinder?
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Because again, it's all about superficial things. How photogenic are you? And if I'm sitting on the hood of a brand new car, then I got to think that's going to help some women say, this guy's got it together. Well, he's got it going on.
Obviously, people then photo doc their pictures, right?
For sure. Absolutely. Now, I don't know how to do that, so.
So can they get, like, known as an illegal Tinder photo?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any laws against it.
I've seen people that don't even look like that person.
Well, have you heard of catfishing? Do you know what catfishing is?
No.
In the term of online dating? No. It's when you just completely have a completely fake profile. You could be just an ugly cretin, just underling that nobody would ever take out on a date. So you make this profile of this beautiful person and you trick the other person into thinking that you're somebody you're not.
They have a TV show about it.
Yeah, it's called catfishing.
Okay.
Hey, you didn't have to worry about catfishing. The only kind of catfishing you were worried about back in the day was Saturday morning, you know, heading out to the lake. What is it? Lake Parsons? Is there a Lake Parsons?
There is a Lake Parsons. I went to Grand Lake.
Was there catfish at Grand Lake?
Catfish. I'm not a huge catfisherman because you know what? Alcohol becomes too involved because you're just not busy enough.
Now, you have some big hands. Have you ever tried noodling?
Oh, yeah. You know what noodling is, right?
I do. They do that down at Grand Lake. I've done it a little bit, but
you could probably get some big catfish with those banana hands of yours. Catfish swimming along, they go, that's a big meal for me.
Just sandpaper. That's all they have as far as teeth.
Oh yeah, that doesn't hurt, does it?
No, they don't hurt.
So you've never tried catfish?
I've never pulled one up. Of course I have.
Of noodling, you have.
I've stuck my hands in some holes on the side of the lake, and have come up empty.
So you've never felt the adrenaline rush
No.
of a catfish trying to swallow your arm?
Somehow I can't see you doing that.
Are you kidding me? Not only do I not think I'd be successful at it, I don't think any catfish would look at my little arms and think, yummy. But that's not my cup of tea, man.
So is there a parallel between noodling and what you do on Tinder?
I'm trying. If there is, I can't think of one. I don't think so. Because when I'm,
you never know what you're gonna get.
That's true. Maybe that's how they came up with the name catfishing, because it came from the term noodling. You never know what's gonna put their mouth around your arm. So we're gonna talk to Frank Sire, former Kansas quarterback, coming up here in just a couple minutes. He had a son who just got done playing his football at KU.
Yeah, and he's got one of the best all-time stories ever. It's a little bit R. I think he can make it PG-13.
Can you get it out of him is the question.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm just going to ask him if he wants to share it. And, you know, his kids are older now. You know, it's all in fun. But it's something that happened that, you know, today, everything about the facilities today probably couldn't happen. But really it happened to Frank Sire, who was one of the best quarterback in the Big 8 Conference, and we have him on now, my good buddy, and he is a very successful businessman. Actually, he's the chief of a fire department over in Lenexa, Frank Sire. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for joining us. I'm with Nick Swart. And he's kind of like one of our kids. We're just trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. Talking about tender. Now, do you know anything about tender?
I've heard a little bit about it, but I'm not real familiar with it. You might have to fill me in a little bit.
Do you want me to explain it to you guys?
We'll talk later. I want to talk football right now, but it's certainly worth a beer, Frankie. It's great to have you on, buddy. And I know you were as impressed as I was on what David Beatty and his staff laid out for all the old-timers coming back with the golf, with the practice, at the restaurant later on. But just give you the opportunity to give your thoughts on the hospitality.
Well, Dave, as you know, I mean, we've both been out of KU football for quite a while now. And this, to my knowledge, is the first time a coach has reached out to this extent to make us feel like we're welcome back, and we're still a part of the program, and that means so much. You know, it's one of the things that we deal with all the time in the fire service is transitioning from one incident to another, or from one life event to another, and you know, transitioning out of college football when it was such a big part of your life for such a long time into the real world is not always an easy adjustment. And whenever you can be welcomed back like Coach Beatty's done and still feel a part of the program, it brings back very fond memories, and it makes you feel good about wanting to be a part of the program and good to be a Jayhawk. So what he's done has been tremendous for us.
And the game itself, it as I talked about on this show earlier, you know, everything's kind of relative to the other side of the ball, which is also your team. You know, the fact we had no turnovers is very great for the offense, not good if you're the defensive coach. You know, having the sacks is good for the defensive line, not good for the offensive line. But, you know, I think what they were able to do in getting teams, both teams, to really be able to operate, execute, without looking like a cluster out there, I think that would have happened in the first 2 years of Beatty's regime. I mean, I was impressed with that, but give your thoughts overall on the play that you saw.
Well, what you said is right on. I think the one thing that I noticed more than anything about the game, and I haven't followed spring ball that much now that, you know, my son's kind of out of it, so I haven't seen it as close, but the one thing I noticed about the spring game compared to prior years is you can tell they have a way better understanding of what they're trying to do offensively. You can tell that the quarterback has a better understanding of where his people are going to be, what his keys are, what he needs to do with the ball, because things were happening so much faster, so much crisper, so much cleaner. There was not near as much indecision as there was the last couple of years. So that to me is, yeah, and that's pretty standard. That's par for the course, is that it takes young guys a while to really grasp an offense as it comes in. And, you know, they're working on the third year of it, and they should have a grasp of it. So it was really good to see that there was some real consistency and continuity with the offense, and that's what I spent most of my time focusing on.
Talking to Frank Sire here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Hey, Frank, Nick Schwert here. I appreciate you hopping on with us. Was there one quarterback between Bender or Stanley that particularly stood out to you?
God, you know what? Stanley really did look good. He's got a lot of moxie. He really does. He's one of those kids that he reminds me a lot of a young Todd Reaving in the fact that he's going to be a gunslinger, but he's also going to be a calculated gunslinger. And he plays with a lot of confidence. I don't know if he's got the strongest arm in the world. He doesn't have the greatest size in the world, but he plays with a lot of confidence. He plays with a lot of toughness mentally and physically. And he really shows a lot on the field. You can just tell he's a gamer. And those are the kind of guys you want at quarterback.
Mike Lee is far from a perfect player. He misses tackles because he comes in too hard and fast. But without question.
When you don't get to, though, you will know.
Yeah, but he's going to sell probably more tickets than anyone else, him and Dorrance, and I think that's key to getting people back in the seats. But, you know, Nick asked me earlier, I went back to a guy that was there before you named Leroy Irwin, who he didn't hit as hard as Mike, but he was only a $1.55 and did play in the league. Can you remember anyone, and of course you played for the Chiefs, the LA Express, that had a stature as small as 170 that would bring a punch like Mike Lee?
The first thing I thought of, now I think Mike's even a little bigger than the guy I'm thinking about, but the few years that I played with Kansas City, we had a quarterback, Kevin Ross. Oh. And I'm telling you, he was a little guy out of Temple, but he might have been the toughest SOB I've ever seen in my life. And everybody in that locker room, 330 pounds or not, had his respect. I mean, he was a tough, hard-hitting, no-nonsense guy, and he wasn't afraid of anybody or taking on anybody. And he was they looked very similar, and they play very similar also.
All right. Well, I think that's fair. And I know you like Dorrance and the defensive line and what they were able to do. I think the thing that grabbed me the most was it looks like we're going to have more than just two or three receivers. Obviously, in an air raid offense, you need to be able to go two deep times three or four, so we need six to eight. But I was pleasantly surprised with a number of guys. I mean, Chase Harrell really jumped out at me, you know, as far as what he can bring. Daylon Charlotte, Steven Sims, we knew about. But also the kid that came in and got belted a couple of times by Mike Lee and ended up catching the big pass to set up the game winner. That was Ryan Shadler.
Right, right. You know, and that's one thing that watching the game, it brought me back to what Coach Beatty was saying the night before. He goes, you know, our babies are growing up. You know, that's the first thing he said to us. And I said, man, you can really tell the physical stature of the team as a whole. And at the wideout position, physically, they're just more on par with what we want to see in the Big 12, you know. I just don't think we had the horses in previous years. I think starting now, we are starting to get to the point where horse for horse, we're matching up a little bit. And those that receiving group was a great example of that. They got some size, strength, and speed, and some toughness that goes along with that. So you got to have that when you play in this offense and this kind of a league. And I think we're going to make sure that they're able to keep us rolling in that regard.
Frank, just 2 years ago when David Beatty took over this program, they had trouble with the spring game because they couldn't field it too deep at some positions. And now you talk about those horses. You talk about the fact that they've got legitimate players, some standouts that are going to be making not just waves around the Big 12, but hopefully around the country in the case of guys like Dorrance Armstrong and Daniel Wise and Mike Lee. You've seen a lot of different versions of Kansas football, but considering where they've come from 2 years ago, how do you kind of put into perspective the job that David Beatty has done trying to rebuild this program?
Well, there's no question he has been such a great hire for the University of Kansas. I mean, we've had such a problem with KU football with the coaching carousel, so to speak. I mean, you cannot build any consistency, continuity, or any kind of program when you go through coaches like we'd have in the past. The fact that we've got somebody with this kind of pedigree to us and somebody who really does put his heart and soul into the program, it's paying off dividends already, you know. And you know, as a fan and as an alumni, we try to have pretty realistic expectations of what we expect the team to do. And but each year you get more cautiously and more cautiously optimistic about what their possibilities are, you know. And whether they have the horses or not, the last few years, the one thing you could really tell was going to be a big difference is we might be down 38-10 or 42-14, but the kids never laid down. They never quit. They kept fighting their butt off, and a lot of teams wouldn't do that. So, to me, that's what he's brought. He's brought a whole different mindset, a whole different mental toughness to the team and to the game, and I hope they all pay big dividends for us this year.
Frank, I appreciate you coming on. You're one of the best, and I know that your numbers are number two only behind Reasing. And, of course, if you would have had the ability to play in an air raid offense, I'm sure your mouth just starts salivating.
Well, you're getting old, Dave, and you might not be having all your faculties with you, but I'll agree with you. I'm not going to afraid. I'll be afraid to agree with you.
Hey, I was teasing this. Now, I'm not going to force you to tell this story. I don't think RCST has ever had a story as good as the one you have, but Nick's just all excited thinking that you might by chance be able to share any part of your story with us. Or maybe another story from when you played back in the day.
Well, Dave, I could share a couple stories, but I know you have just as many as I do. So once you start sharing stories, then I will.
Well, I know it's going to be a good story if you can prompt it by just saying the story. You don't even have to describe it. When you say you've got a story and he knows exactly which one you're talking about, that means it's a pretty good story.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the story. And, you know, maybe one time we'll tease our audience with it. Maybe talk Frank to coming over. Maybe he can be on our live remote at Dale Willie
awesome.
Sometime, and we could advertise a story on the billboard by Frank Sire.
That might be too much hype for this story. I don't know if we might go that far.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Hey, Frank, thanks a lot, man, and I appreciate you. I look forward to getting together with you very soon, sir.
And we'll be doing it soon, buddy. I can't wait.
And by the way, you haven't changed a lick. I watched you dominate that alumni game. I mean, that was like stealing out there for you, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was everybody at work as it looked, I'm telling you. It was fun, though. I had a good time, even though I'm still going to kick Bobby Douglas's butt for not showing up.
For people that don't know, that understandably the PA called Frank Bobby Douglas. Of course, the big difference is, you know, Bobby's about 14 years older, I think, but also a lefty.
And he's a southpaw. He's about 6'5 and a 240, and I'm a little skinny dude. Well, I used to be a skinny dude.
But both great quarterbacks that wore number 10 at the University of Kansas.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. Look forward to seeing you guys this fall real soon.
Thanks, right. Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, take care, guys.
That's Frank Sire, one of the great all-time quarterback, number two all-time in the history of the University of Kansas. Went on to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, also the LA Express. And he is a captain for the Lenexa Fire Department. Very successful afterlife. And raised some pretty good sons who went on to be fine football players as well.
That's I'm a little disappointed I didn't get to hear the story. It's like I was teased. It's like getting a lap dance, you know?
I don't know. Is it something we can, you know, put on 101.7 and keep off of AM radio?
No. We put it
we're
on
good
both.
With that?
We stand by our product. So if it's good enough to go on the FM signal, it's good enough to go on the AM.
So one of these days, we'll get, maybe when we go out to Dale Willie, I'll bring Frank and we'll sit and, you know, give Frank a few cocktails early on and get him kind of loosened up. But it is an interesting story. And speaking of Dale Willie, a place where we might get our next automobile, they've been doing it great service. They take care of the cars. They will come back year after year to make sure that you're satisfied. If you're not, they'll correct it. And, you know, give Danny a call. He works in the large pre-owned center, over 10,000 square feet. If you want a new vehicle, Chevy, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, or lease a car, check out their new center as well. You can get over 20% off new 2017 Silverados. So there you go. 20% off. Go check them out. The entire block of 2800 Iowa.
He's David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwert. Rock Chuck Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. About a quarter till 6. We'll come back on the other side, wrap things up for your Monday afternoon on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.